Don't worry about it. We'll be looking at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Good to have everybody. Good to have the brethren from Louisiana with us this morning. Hope and pray that it'll be a blessing. I hope and pray that we come to church to not show you what I am, but come to church to worship. And I appreciate Brother Chris's admonition there. We don't like to confess things like that, but sometimes it's true. And the Word of God is a pathway, is a light to our pathway. And the Word of God is a compass to us in true religion and in morals. That's why our morals in our nation are going very, very wrong, because nobody reads the Bible. Even people in churches now depend on some guy with a necktie to tell them what the Bible says. And I think you ought to honor your preacher. But when, as Brother Chris read, God has not sent them. And so when God has not sent them, everything crashes from a spiritual standpoint. Now, don't get me wrong, they got a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Now, these charismatics, you go down there, and they got a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So I'm constantly, and I hope I am, in the light of God, examining myself to see what my walk is like today, and that's going to kind of be our lesson this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, and I got down to verse 4, if my memory serves me correctly. Verse 4. And getting right into the lesson this morning, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That is kind of a small verse in a way, but it's got a lot to say.
Yes.
It's got a lot to say. Faith is a missing ingredient in religion this morning. Faith in God. Now, when you got saved, it had to be by grace through faith, or you didn't get it.
Right.
See, and I'm not speaking to you all necessarily, I'm speaking to the world. See, you had to have faith to trust Jesus Christ. Now, I know you didn't have much probably, but you had enough to call on him. And he said, call on me, and I will answer. Now, I never do come to this point what I don't think, and forgive me for giving so much of my experience, but I don't think of my experience as I did not know in my heart that I was lost until I got under Holy Ghost conviction. People said I was lost, preacher said I was lost, and you know, and in my heart I said, well, I guess I am. But I did not really know it to me, to my heart, until I got under conviction. Now, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Okay? What is that really saying? I know you can turn over to Genesis and you can read it and it's a good lesson to go read what happened to Cain and Abel. But first of all, they are bound to have known that it took blood sacrifice. because God slew an animal, took the skins and covered Adam and Eve. So that was blood of innocent being shed for the guilty. Now, when we come to Cain and Abel knew that God demanded a blood sacrifice. They should have known it. Their parents had witnessed that and no doubt told them that. But one of these boys went for the works of his hands. And the other went by something he didn't create or help create. So if we turn over there and read that, it said after they made their offerings, God had respect to Abel and his offering. And to Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was wroth. See? Well, how come Abel to offer a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's? Because his faith was placed in the right thing. Now today, can I say this? I don't mean to be critical, but people's faith must be placed in the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, it can't be placed in, and that's where the devil has got religion so messed up. And our old preacher used to say, you can do religion, but God gives salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And that I thought that was a good point. You can do religion. Go there and watch them. See? And they, you know, the charismatics, I said a while ago, they get all worked up and go in there and tell them that they hadn't got a spirit. Well, they'll throw you out. See? But by faith, people must offer a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Right.
And it says here that Abel obtained some things that Cain didn't have.
Right.
And he received them by faith. And these are the things that he offered.
Right. And would you notice in the book of Genesis, the blessing that Abel got? God had respect to Abel. I mean, that don't mean his flesh was built up. That means that God accepted his offering. See? By faith.
But the faith we have, we need to have in God, not in people.
Yep. All right. God testifying of his gifts, that, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Now what does that mean? He now speaketh. Well, it meant that Abel's testimony remained after he was dead. God said, Cain, your brother's blood, to me, crieth out to me from the ground. See? So his faith not only saved him, but his faith gave him a testimony. Right.
It almost seems like a shadow and a type of salvation, today salvation.
Well, it is, I think. Yeah. See? And so the writer here is telling us we're talking about faith in this chapter. And of course, all of y'all know that. But he is reiterating to us individuals of the Old Testament that had faith and what this faith brought to them and what it brought to them around them. And I think that's what this chapter today is going to mostly dwell in. What does our faith bring to those around us? See what I mean? Now we can get in a rut and say, well, I'm saved and I go to church three times a week, and well, okay, that's good. We ought to. But is that all we do? See? Gets kind of pinching right there, don't it? On us. You see what I mean? Next verse. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, like I said, this lesson this morning is a little bit pinching. You say, I've got faith and I'm saved. Okay. That's great. I'm glad. But then do we please God? And I can sit on the bench and say, I don't believe you please God. And you can sit on the bench and say, I don't believe you please God to me. But it's not me and it's not you that makes the judgment. What does the Holy Ghost say to you? See what I mean? In our dispensation, that's who approves us is the Word and the Spirit. God ain't talking to nobody today except through the Word and the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking right there about ministers. I'm talking about me as an individual. Me as an individual. See what I mean? So, Enoch was translated. Now, we don't fully understand that. I mean, all we know is that he lived 360 years, and he was not, for God took him. I mean, as far as we know, God took him right up into heaven without going through death. And I could chase some rabbits there, but I won't. So he went up and he pleased God. Now think with me a minute. Men of that generation, they had no Bible. They had no church. So how did they get the message of God? That's right. That's right. But God did visit them. See? God did visit them. And God don't need me to figure out how he talked to them. He talked to them in his own way. What he said was right, and they got the message. So the Bible says he walked with God. Now, whatever that means, you know, we could draw a lot of conclusions there that, you know, that God bodily came down, which he probably didn't. But I don't know that, and you don't know that. But he walked with God and had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay, pleasing God. Do I please God? And you know, I'm not trying to get over holy with you, because just immediately every one of our minds are going to go, I'm in the flesh. Yes, I know that. I know that. I know we're in the flesh. But Paul had some things to write to me and you about that we fight a good fight. Now, that don't necessarily mean out there on the streets, although it does include that. How do I fight a good fight with me? How do I fight a good fight with myself? See, how do I control myself, my temper? How do I control what I think? See? One preacher preached on a CD. He said, you're not going to go out there and rob a bank or kill anybody. He said, oh, no, that's not our problem. He said, our problem is, what do you think of your brother? Do you esteem your brother more than yourself? Okay, how do I pass that test? How do you pass that test? See? All right. He had this witness that he pleased God, had this testimony testimony. See, I'm seeing in this chapter a lot of places that it's talking about testimony. And I don't go very far until I remember what James said. James chapter 2, you know, faith without works is dead. And we can all quote that. And I apply it pretty good to you. But how do I apply it to me? Right?
Oh, yeah,
is that the way we are?
You're right.
I apply it pretty good to you, but how do I apply it to me? See, faith without works is dead. Now, what he's saying there, he's not talking to lost people. If you read the first words of that chapter, he says, my brethren. See? So faith without works is dead. Now, what is our testimony when we are in the world? Do we have one? Said, well, I talk to my children, and I pray for my children. That's good. We should. What about them out yonder? Do I talk to them? Do I pray for them? What are you talking about this morning, Brother Glenn? I'm talking about faith without works. Without works is dead. Now, I think what he's talking about there, and some people misconstrue that, I think. James is not talking about what God sees in me. He's talking about what they see in me. You see what I mean? I mean, I can go to Walmart, I can go to the cafe, do we ask a blessing on our food at a cafe? That's not being a hypocrite. I want to do it. Don't mean I'm a great Christian, but I want to do it. And if I got five people around me, I still do it. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you that's what the Lord wants me to do. I don't know what he wants you to do. You see what I mean? So we say here, show me your faith by your works. See? I don't mean I'm flowering you up. See? But another place, the writer said, go without the camp bearing his reproach. I don't know about you, but I have a problem with my flesh right there. And I have to put it under subjection when I go do that. See? And if you go out there at Walmart or Home Depot or somewhere and hand out some tracts, yeah, somebody's going to put you down. If you hand out enough of them, they'll put you down. Well, I don't do that. Okay, well, I'm not saying you got to. You can talk to the Lord about that. But I think that's part of works going without the camp bearing his reproach. And of course, all of you men know you don't have to go very far when you get out there, and we do have to mingle with them people some. See? I mean, Jesus would go to a Pharisee's house and eat with them. He would do that. But he never did lose his composure. He never did lose his quest for lost souls while he was there. In fact, on some occasions when he's at a Pharisee's house and he had a meal with them, something would come up. I mean, how about the woman that came in and washed his feet with her tears? Did you know that was at a Pharisee's house? And that Pharisee said if this man knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't let her touch him. Hey! Jesus said he'd come to seek and to save sinners. right.
It.
I'll tell you what. I don't know about y'all, but I have to quote to myself pretty often. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be red like scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, be white as snow. I'm sorry. And then Paul capped it off in chapter 5 of Romans, saying, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound.
Oh, yeah.
Man, ain't that good?
That's real good.
Woo! That is so good. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
You were able to save people like me and Legion. Save people like me and Legion. Man, I mean, that is so good. Though you have sinned, you can come to Him. See, in fact, in our dispensation, I guess it's always been that way, only sinners can get saved. See, one man preached, and I think it's right. He said, people's not lost. Said, they're sinners, but they're not lost. Said, lost people are not comfortable. And said, you bring them people, go out there, and said, they're just having a good time. Said, they're not lost. See? And I think that's why all the preachers in the book of Acts didn't try to get anybody saved, they tried to get everybody lost. See? I don't mean we don't want them to be saved. Don't get me wrong. But they're not going to get it from just my words. See? So I'm back to Enoch now. Forgive me. Now verse 6, I think, is an instruction to me and you. And probably an instruction to the whole world. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, comma. We talk about head knowledge. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you disagree with me if you want to, that's fine. I think that head knowledge is where people start out. Let me ask you a question. The first time that you can recall going to church, or the first time that you recall believing what the preacher said, was it head or heart? It was head. Now later on, to most of us, it became a heartfelt situation. See? So with the heart man believeth. Now then, let me read the rest of this verse. And He, and that's God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Brother Chris, you've been talking quite a bit about easy believers.
I'm in the midst of
them. I know it.
Everywhere.
Easy believers. Well, what does this verse say? They got to diligently seek Him. And I think, you can disagree with me, I think when a person gets lost, they're ready to diligently seek Him. Now, I know we do it in our own words, and I don't give you a recipe there. But I think your heart is reaching for God. I think only then do you diligently seek. Now, this easy believing stuff, the people that practice that, they're, in my opinion, there's no diligency to their seeking. Right.
And most people, you know, this first part here is we must believe that He is. And there's not a person in America that don't believe in some form of God.
Yep.
But them that diligently seek Him, you know, it takes the Holy Spirit to press that home.
That's right.
To where
that's right.
You see that need for Him. I mean, you know, if you don't need it, you don't desire it.
That's right.
You don't need it, you don't diligently seek it.
That's That's right. You don't know you need it. You don't.
The Holy Spirit convicting you before you see a need for Christ.
That's right. Everybody in here believes Jesus taught the truth and was the truth. And everything he said was the truth, right? Well, he said, no man cometh to me except my Father which is in heaven draw him. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe it.
So not only have I diligently sought him that night I got saved, but I have diligently sought him the rest of my Christian life. I've diligently sought God this week. And I believe everybody gets saved will.
Yeah. Probably when we're young Christians, we don't know much about that, but I agree. When I go to Bible study, do we seek God's will or do we just seek to read the words? See what I mean? So he that cometh to God, didn't say ought to, said he must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See? Now, let's look at the word diligence a minute. What does that mean? Does that mean, well, the preacher said, I need to give my heart to Jesus to go to heaven. So I'll go run up there and do it. Now, the reason I'm saying this is not to put people down. But it's so prevalent in our world today.
Right, it needs to be said.
It's so prevalent. See?
One man said faith is never learned in a comfortable position.
Yep.
You take a tree that's in the forest with lots of trees around him, he doesn't learn much. He doesn't have much strength. You take all the trees away from him and get blown over. But
yep.
You know, to diligently seek the Lord, when you get saved and that peace of God that comes in your heart that passes all understanding, that's fine, that's wonderful and everything, but you get out there in that trial, you get out there in that valley, you get out there where the giants are coming at you, and you find out it's really impossible to face them alone.
Yep.
That's when you need him, and after walking with him, you understand. You don't learn much on the mountain. You learn things in the valley, and you learn to seek the Lord to go with you as you face your adversities. Man is just, we have to have afflictions to turn us back to God.
Right. Yeah.
If we live, and that's why the devil's killing us with kindness now, is because we've got it so good we don't need God. But if you get to facing your afflictions and God lets some things come into our lives, and I don't understand that. But I, you know, when God's with you, you can go through anything. I've learned that by experience.
Yep.
But when he ain't there, I don't want to even walk alone. But when he's with me, he's my confidence.
That's right.
Peace to me.
Right.
And I hear these old saints talking about the grace of God, and you know, the grace of God will lead you and guide you, and you know, we need that, but that's the trial of our faith, is seeking him with all your heart, and when you find him, hold on to him and not let him go.
Right. Right. And it takes effort. That's part of your faith. All right? Next verse. I think I can cover one more verse. I may not get it finished, but by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Boy, that's a big verse.
Yeah.
Okay, Noah. Noah's in a wicked generation. It's wicked as ours. In fact, Jesus said ours would be as wicked as Noah's. But God said, Noah, it's going to rain. Okay, it of things not seen as yet. That's what was not seen yet, rain. It had not rained till Noah's time. God watered the earth with dew, what we call dew. And there's Noah. He's building this big old boat. And the Bible don't say this, and all of us has got conjectures of what happened. But people come by, what are you building a big boat that big for on dry ground? And I'm sure, according to, he said he condemned them. I'm sure he said, God told me it's going to rain. Now that brings on a lot of questions right there. I don't know if God talks to that old man or not. See, probably what they said, I don't know that. But we know that he had resistance. Because it says he condemned the world. Now when you condemn people scripturally, not what I condemn people with, scripturally, they get irritated usually. See what I mean? But by faith, he prepared an ark. Now you think about this. I mean, we look back and we know the story, and we've been taught that all of our lives, one way or another, sometimes. But you think about that. There never had been any rain. And Noah says it's going to flood. God's going to flood the earth with water. Man, a dew can't flood the earth. I mean, that's human reasoning, right? But not seen as yet. Wasn't seen yet. But God told his men, it's going to rain and it's going to flood and everything's going to die. So he prepared an ark. Now, a lot of people get the verse wrong right here. Not to the saving of his soul. Not to the saving of his soul. He didn't prepare an ark to the saving of his soul. He prepared an ark to save him of his house. He was already justified. Okay? So now we're back down to works. What was his work? Building an ark. By the which he condemned the world. Now, I think, and I'm not sure, I think they're saying, well, we ain't building an ark. Okay. Stay out there then. And that's kind of the message they got today to me and you. We ain't believing that stuff. Okay, stay out there. See? Now, I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean it in a truthful way. Probably did. Yep.
Faith comes at a certain point. But beyond that point, faith does you no good.
Yep.
You know they start believing when they've got to stop their gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, you know, Noah went into the ark 7 days before a drop of rain fell. And God sealed the door. Now, when God seals... When God seals the door, them it's in can't get out, and them it's out can't get in. You see what I mean? Okay, now his faith caused him to become an heir of righteousness. His faith caused him to become an heir of righteousness. See, now the heart... The hard shells or the Calvinists will tell you that repentance is works. You ever hear that? Repentance is works. Repentance is the opposite of works. Repentance is what you tell God with all your heart you're going to give up. That's called surrendering. So Noah built an ark to the saving of his house, and how come him to build this ark? Warned of God by fear, and it's okay, and I think we should fear God. You know, man, I read that over in 2 Corinthians about the judgment seat. And Paul is talking to Christians, and he says, knowing the terror of the Lord.
Well, again, Brother Glenn, we can read them words, but we don't understand it until we experience.
You're right. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. See? I teach all the time. I think it's right. Justification has always been by grace through faith. That's why we're studying this faith chapter of the old patriarchs. See? Now there's two kinds of faiths. As far as God sheds on us. There's saving faith and then there's living faith. What's he talking about today mostly? Living faith. You see what I mean? And yeah, we do need to be reminded. We do need to be pumped up, can I say it that way? About faith of our Christian life. And if we just go on, we just come to church three times a week or four times a week, and that's all you do, I'm not showing people around me very much. It's good to do that. How's my faith working out there? All right, I'm out of time. Appreciate the comments. Everybody had your Bible, I'm sure.